Welcome back to Plebs on Parade, the show where every pleb is a potential philosopher. I'm your host, Timmy Tether, and today we're talking about Knots versus Bitcoin Core, the Communists versus the Nazis. Is Bitcoin Core an attack on Bitcoin? Is Knots good? Is it bad? What do plebs think? Today I am recording Plebs on Parade on location outside Franklin BBQ in Austin, Texas for the Bitcoin Plus Plus Conference. Run by Lisa Nifty Knee, the theme of this Bitcoin conference is What Else? Knots versus Bitcoin Core. Our first pleb is Matthew, spelled M-A-T-T-H-I-E-U. Matthew, are you a communist or a Nazi, a filter boy or a spam hoe?
Timmy Tether, life is a dance, a play. It is retarded. Just like this debate, it's a very retarded debate. And I just want to enjoy Bitcoin podcasts. And it's hard to enjoy Bitcoin podcasts when Bitcoin podcasters are constantly discussing Knots versus Bitcoin Core, filters. I don't want to deal with that. I want to have retarded conversations, but not that kind of retarded conversation. I want to talk about thermodynamics. I hope this all ends quickly.
All right, well, we did not play that deep music in the background. Matthew brought his own boombox to play that in the background. Matthew's really taking this pleb philosopher concept seriously, and we appreciate the self-seriousness, but maybe calm down, my guy. Anyway, Matthew thinks the debate is retarded. He just wants to listen to Bitcoin podcasts about thermodynamics. Our next pleb is Randy. Randy is a trucker who goes by the name Holland Sats. Randy, what is your take on this debate? Is it good? Is it bad?
Glad to be here, Timmy Tether. My opinion is pretty simple. I'm no Mike Brock. The answer is that Bitcoin doesn't care.
Timmy Tether, you son of a bitch. Let me talk.
God damn it, Terrence. It's my interview. I already told you I don't want a no KYC hand job.
Timmy Tether, Shinobi is at the conference calling everyone retards. He called me retarded. This is David Bailey's fault. They want to rape our nodes. This is bullshit.
All right, that's enough. Holland Sats says Bitcoin doesn't care. Terrence interrupted to blame Shinobi and David Bailey. And once again, he might have a point. Last is Mallory. Mallory is new to Bitcoin. She was orange-pilled by seeing BTC Sessions' sexy hardware wallet tutorials. Mallory, communism versus Nazism. What's the verdict?
Oh, hello, Timmy. Go away, Terrence. Anyway, I don't run a node because I'm not married, so I will let my future husband decide which version of Bitcoin I run. I will say, I think Mechanic is kind of hot. So even though my opinion, as a woman, doesn't matter that much in this debate, I like whatever Mechanic likes.
There you have it. Mallory thinks Mechanic is hot. She's waiting for her husband to run a node for her, but in the meantime, watch out, Mechanic. You've got a secret admirer. That's all for this edition of Plebs on Parade. Make sure you go to orangelabel.co to get your Plebs on Parade Bitcoin podcast t-shirts to wear at the conference in Las Vegas. See you there.
The world is standing on the precipice. Led by Luke Dash Jr., the Nazis are growing in power in the West. They believe that Bitcoin should be used only for monetary transactions, including Tether. Every day they are recruiting yet another Bitcoin podcaster to their ranks. In the East, there's also a growing force. The Communists, led by Satoshi, are recruiting all the devs and those with technical knowledge on how Bitcoin actually works. Peter Todd believes that our nodes should be raped with monkey JPEGs, and that there is no way to stop the spammers, so we need to minimize the damage. Shinobi, the chief propagandist of the Communists, is calling every Nazi he finds retarded. He's playing an endless game of whack-a-mole as every day a new one pops up. every day he sets a new world record for how many people he calls retarded. Bitcoin Mechanic, the chief propagandist for the Nazis, is going on every possible podcast he can, also setting records in his own regard. Both sides of the debate insist you need to pick a side. You must join or die. The state of the network is at risk. What appears to lie ahead is darkness and chaos. The war between the two ideologies could become bloody. Can't crisis be averted and cooler heads prevail? Or will we see a schism? The battleground exists in memes, in podcasts, at conferences. A dark cloud hangs over Bitcoin, and we are on the front lines. You're listening to the Bugle Weekly Podcast. This is Richard Greaser. I want to welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How you doing today, Ron? What's going on?
I am solemn. I am hesitant. And most of all, I'm worried. Because this is the closest that Bitcoin has come to fracturing, to forking, since the block size wars. And the block size wars, I mean, we read about just the brutal, brutal fight that it was, and the people who lost, how badly they lost, their reputations, their bags fumbled forever. And a lot of us have read that book, and we've talked about it, and we've listened to it on Bitcoin Podcast. And we think about how crazy that time was, but also a lot of us remember, we read about the wisdom and the correct decisions and the foresight of the small blockers. And we identified with the small blockers. We were small blockers thanks to their wisdom. But in that time, it's not so obvious who was right or wrong if you were living through it. And right now, having to choose a side between the Nazis and the communists, God, if you make the wrong choice, your bags can go to zero. You get forked to the minority chain, and you are forever in history going to be remembered as a retard like a bee casher. And that's why this decision is such, it is the biggest decision any Bitcoiner will make, maybe ever has made. And this is why it's such a solemn time for me.
The stakes are very high. We don't want to be looked at historically as retards.
We don't want to have those memes of us crying, getting mad that somebody, John Carlavo called it B-cash. It's, Bitcoin cash. That we don't want to be crashing out on the timeline. And then people are going to go back 5 years from now and laugh at how retarded we were and be like, they're poor. They are fucking scammers. And all because we chose the wrong side.
I think we're all sitting on the edge of our seats right now. We're waiting to figure out what the correct and safest route and safest opinion, the safest flag to bear is. We're waiting for Dennis Porter to make the decision for us. He determined correctly after listening to a lot of public debate that he was a small blocker last time. And he made it very clear. He decided the fate of the block size wars with that decision, but he has stayed neutral on this and hasn't flagged which side he supports. If he's a Nazi or if he's a communist, what do you think he's waiting for?
Now, this brings up a really good point, because the battle, the info war for the block size war was fought on Reddit. This was 2015, 2016. I mean, of course it was on GitHub and, Bitcoin Talk Forum, but primarily where the popular discussion, where the mainstream press would get their information, where the mainstream media consumer would get their information, would be Reddit. And the small blockers won the Reddit info war in 2017. By filtering the big blockers. And we don't know if that battle being won on Reddit and if that was what caused Small Blocks to win, or if Small Blocks won because it was the correct decision. We only know that in hindsight. We can only speculate. But the battle now is going to be fought on podcasts. And that is why I personally have chosen side with the Nazis, because it is the podcast side of this fight. And it is important for podcasters to show solidarity right now against the communists. The communists don't decide what's right. It will be decided in public debate on Bitcoin podcast. And I think Dennis Porter is waiting to hear enough signal on Bitcoin podcasts to make his decision. And ultimately, that's what the right decision will end up being.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on it yet. I mean, I've definitely see myself aligning more with the communists, but I have trouble fully committing until Dennis Porter throws his hat in the ring. And part of the reason why I'm on the side of the communists is because, like, I think a lot of these Nazis, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm not going to get my technical opinions from people that, one, have never really explored the technical side of Bitcoin. Two, don't smoke cigarettes. Three, don't read Atlas Shrugged. And that's where a lot of these people are coming from, is they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They're standing up with their uncredentialed opinions. You know, they may have a Bitcoin podcast, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're properly credentialed to have opinions on everything just because you have a Bitcoin podcast.
And see, this is, I hear you here. And it's, from a rational standpoint, it's hard to make an argument against it. However, when you go into the mind of a retard, the mind of a retard has been one of the most beneficial evolutionary outcomes in the human species. The retard can get everything wrong when it comes to the details of the technicals and the way they understand the world around them, but they still succeed. They're still right. They can trust that retard instinct. And you can see this taking place again during the block size wars. You have like podcasters like Preston Pish, this guy used to fly an Apache helicopter, the flying steel hawk from heaven, one of the most complex, difficult machines to control. I mean, if you ever listen to his podcast, he talks about taproot or what an inscriptional ordinal is. He mumbles incoherently for 10 seconds until his guest saves him and explains how taproot works and what the difference between a protocol consensus change and a mempool policy, patch PR, what the difference between those two things are. But he was still a small blocker. He didn't understand anything. He didn't even run a node back then, but he knew the small blocks because he trusted that instinct, that 80 IQ pull-out instinct. And I think there's a lot of examples of that. And I think our friends liked it when he talked about make being an 80 IQ retard great again, because I think that is what Knots is. Knots is a movement of people who are like, we don't know what we're talking about, but we know that we're not wrong. And it's just like Terrence Yang, just because he has Ordinal's derangement syndrome, just because he has David Bailey derangement syndrome, doesn't mean that he's wrong. And you just have to be able to trust that sign from God.
I'm just not going to take my opinion for people that post open mouth thumbnails on YouTube. And Matthew Crater. Matthew Crater's a certified retard, and not in the good way. Not in the good way.
Matt Crater is kind of like Dave Ramsey. Every time you listen, if you listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week, and then you watch a Dave Ramsey YouTube video, you're going to be like, this guy is a fucking idiot. And he's giving people advice. He doesn't smoke cigarettes. He doesn't listen to Bitcoin podcasts. And everything he's talking about is the opposite of what somebody who smokes cigarettes and listens to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast would tell you. And that's kind of like Matthew Crater. If you listen to 40 hours and you listen to what Matthew Crater is talking about and saying, you're like, what the fuck? But there's people that are so retarded, they have to pay Matthew Crater $790 a year for tuition to his uncredentialed, unaccredited Bitcoin University. But from what I've seen and the feedback I've gotten from the community, there's a lot of pledges out there who were really helped by Matthew Crowder, and they know retards in their community who could be really helped by Matthew Crowder. So that is maybe where that's where his success comes from.
I mean, the way I see his success, or, you know, if he has success, he's pretending like he has success, is just exploiting ignorance. That's what these guys do. They exploit people's ignorance. They operate on YouTube and they have this funnel and they're like, wow, this guy has university next to his name, so he must be smart. He must be credentialed. It's not accredited. He gets these guys that come off of YouTube that don't know anything. And he doesn't mention that they could get all this knowledge for free by listening to Bitcoin podcasts. And that, you know, let's be real here. $790 today, $790 USDT today in Bitcoin is intergenerational wealth. Why would you divest that away from your own personal life savings, from buying cigarettes, from boosting Bitcoin podcasters, really getting the word out there? He's pulling all of this productive money out of the system because he's taking advantage of people that are ignorant. And it's the same exact behavior as shitcoining. This is what, you know, the swans always get so mad about, is they're watching these guys like Vitalik with Ethereum, you know, all these other shitcoiners, the Solana bros, you know, with their stupid meme coins, all these people. What they see it as is they're pulling money away from ignorant people and just lighting it on fire and creating a bunch of inefficient, unproductive economic activity. And that's exactly what Matthew Crowder is doing by failing to say, you should go listen to 40 hours a week of Bitcoin podcast.
Yeah, though this, listen, I'm with you 100%, but this goes to reveal it's a view that statists have. So we have to break the underlying value system in people's minds that makes them tolerate or support the state. It's the same that made people tolerate and support the slave owners during slavery. It's that if you don't exploit ignorant retards and make it, you know, and tax them or charge them $790, they don't know any better. Like, if you are actually doing them a favor, the slave owner is doing these slaves a favor. He's taking care of them. He's giving them a place to live. The state is giving you secure borders. The state is providing safety, security through compliance in your community, because people are ignorant retards and maybe they need to pay for something that if they listen to 40 hours per week, they wouldn't need the state. They wouldn't need the owner. They wouldn't need the master. But these people aren't going to listen to 40 hours per week unless they pay $790 to take your course and watch these videos. So the argument there is that people will not listen to 40 hours per week and do this themselves. So they need the state. They need Matthew Crowder. They need scammers. They need people to exploit them to help them learn.
When it comes to scams, spam, and other gay crap on Bitcoin, they say you can't stop it all. Maybe they're right. I don't know. I don't have computer science credentials, and I didn't pay $790 for Matthew Crowder's Bitcoin University. What I can tell you is the smartest Bitcoin podcasters I know say I should run Knots, because it's my node. My choice. I don't have to store any gay data on my straight maxi node. But because I don't have a PhD in computers, I don't know how to run Bitcoin Knots. I could barely figure out my umbrella. But once that crashed, I thought I had to give up on my dream of being a truly sovereign node runner. But now, all that's changed, because the Geek Squad is there to help boomers and regular working class taxpayers like me, who didn't study rocket science or attend cypherpunk summer camp as a kid, run my own Bitcoin Knots node with all the macro transactions and no gay spam. Thank you, Geek Squad. I am now up, running, synced to the chain, and filtering gay transactions.
Here at the Geek Squad, we understand that most Knots Node supporters don't know how to run a node or how to filter ordinals. That's why our certified, credentialed free market IT employees are here to help you run Knots on your Start 9 home server or switch from Core to Knots on your Raspberry Pi. If you want to help defend the network from spam, call the Geek Squad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so like the reason, so you set him off because you pointed out that he had this expensive course. He got really mad about it. I don't know why he got mad at it. You were just posting tweets.
I was making a joke. I wasn't goofing. I was reporting the news. I said that Matthew Crater has two online universities, which he does. He has websites for these universities. He's very proud of them. He links to them in his Twitter profile. I said, you could take Natalie Brunel's course for. So this is where I think maybe this was my bad. I did correct myself, but the original reporting of the news said that you could take Natalie Brunel's course on Bitcoin for $800, or you could pay Matthew Crater's tuition for $1,250. Now, Matthew Crater's course is actually cheaper than Natalie Brunel's. Matthew Crater's course is $790. So you get a $10 discount. Maybe that's because Matthew Crater is not as hot as Natalie Brunel, but either way, it's cheaper. But if you are, once you've kind of grokked Bitcoin, you know, you listen to 40 hours per week now, thanks to this course that you were introduced by, you could learn to be a trader. He's also got a university to help you become a stock trader. So if you want to trade meme coins, or needs to be meme stocks, things like that, you want to make some money off GameStop because they bought Bitcoin or MicroStrategy for $1,250, Matthew Crater has a course that teaches you that as well. And I think he's very well known for that. And I was just simply pointing that out and saying, hey, you could take these courses for this price. And he didn't like that. And I don't understand why. I did issue a correction and say that his course was cheaper than Natalie's.
It's because guys like Matthew Crater are grifters, and they're just out there exploiting people's ignorance of the fact that that there's Bitcoin podcasters out there. Like that, I would highly encourage everybody, if you feel the urge to take a course and spend your money that way instead of doing the work and just listening to Bitcoin podcasts, take Natalie's course because at least she's hot. She's an esteemed Bitcoin podcaster. She runs a sort of conference with the Women in Bitcoin brunch, and that's leaps and bounds ahead of this other guy. That I mean, seriously, like, you know, yeah. Matthew Crater, what a double standard! He's out there teaching a stock trading course, and he claims to not like shitcoiners, but stocks are just corporate meme stocks. Right. That's a shitcoin. The stocks are a shitcoin at the end of the day. So Matthew Crater, he doesn't even pass his own smell test. He fails his own purity test, and he's out there pointing fingers. He's an enemy of journalism at the end of the day.
Well,
the
yeah.
He was attacking us because you very astutely pointed out that you could take Natalie Brunel's course.
All I did was report factual information. That's like, you know, that's any press is good press. Your brand or university is like a commercial. It's like, hey, this is my university. These are the costs. This is what you learn. And it's similar with people like Joe Nakamoto. We have reported news. We're journalists, so we are colleagues of Joe. Some people would say that Joe's a fake, uncredentialed reporter. But he calls himself a journalist, so even credentialed or not. And we just report the news. We show videos. We've had some headlines just kind of explaining what he's doing. And he gets very angry, and it's that these people like to control the narrative. They want to control the way that their public perception. If you tell the truth about them, if you made zero if you didn't lie, or if, you know, you got a detail wrong, you issued a correction as a credentialed journalist is obligated to do. And they get upset about it. It's because they are controlling how you are learning about them, how you are taking in the information about their activities, their organizations, their prices, their schemes, their, you know, marketing, it's all going to be tightly controlled by them. And it's very similar to cult leaders in the state. They want to only anything that is a reflection of reality as they are expressing themselves. If they can't control that, they'll call it propaganda. You know, it's got to be very narrative, tightly controlled narrative.
Joe Nakamoto is really funny to watch because he just sucks. He just sucks super hard. So he's out here pretending to be a journalist. He pretends to be a journalist. He's just a content creator. He wakes up in the morning. I bet you he has a Taylor Lorenz poster on his wall. So he aspires to be like Taylor Lorenz, the woman that docs, that lives a TikTok person. That's how she got famous, for being shitty to people on the internet and under the guise of being a journalist. And that's how Joe Nakamoto is. That's just how he is. Nobody likes him. If they like him, it's just because out of ignorance. They're like, wow, he said the word Bitcoin and he's got a YouTube channel. He's just a content creator pretending to be a journalist. And this is
breaking news about Joe Nakamoto. So everything you said is correct, but Joe Nakamoto is actually an American. He's got a fake accent. He has left he grew up in the United States. If you grew up in the 90s, if you're a 90s baby, a Gen Xer, a millennial, you'll remember the band Hanson. And it was the worst boy band. They had one hit song, and then everybody hates Justin Bieber. And they're like, you used to be able to go to YouTube, you know, a few years ago, and you'd see a Justin Bieber video, and the first comment would be, I want to apologize for my generation, because this is what is considered a hate music in my day. I would rather listen to classic rock like Foo Fighters and Nirvana, and people would give that 1,000 likes. But before Justin Bieber was Hanson, everybody hated Hanson. If you were to play a Hanson music video or have them in a magazine after like 2002, it was to make fun of them. And the youngest son of the Hanson brothers is Joe Nakamoto. We've got confirmation through a FOIA request to Tether, because Tether is now going public with 21. So we've got the records of all the people that Tether is paying to post YouTube videos about them. And Joe Nakamoto is one of them. And that payment is being written out. And I don't want to dox him, so I'm not going to say his name. I don't want you to find that. But just know he was, because it wasn't his real name from Hanson. Hanson wasn't his real last name. But he's the youngest brother of Hanson. And that's why he left the United States and changed his identity, is because he was so reviled. He was bullied by everybody in every school that he went to. He went to 5 schools and finally had to leave the country. That's why he doesn't like Bitcoin Google. He considers us like the people that bullied him out of the country for being a part of Hanson. The people that sing Oombop.
I don't think we're bullying him. I think we don't stand for stolen valor. Joe Nakamoto is like the guy that shows up to the BJJ gym with a black belt and he's really a blue belt. And what you do to people like that, if you're a black belt, is you submit the shit out of them. You put them in a rear naked choke, and then you start slapping them around, and then you take the belt off of them and tell them fuck off and never come back. That's what you do to people like that. And that's all we're trying to do to Joe Nakamoto, is just hold him accountable. It's not attempting to bully him. He's not a journalist. He's a content creator. And
That's my point, is that these people think journalism, well, not so much journalism. These people think that telling the truth is being a bully. They think you're bullying them if you're just simply telling the truth. These people don't want to see reality. They don't want to know how people feel about them, or they don't want people to see what they're really doing. So they think that if you're telling the truth, you're bullying them. Like, you don't bully Google for the stuff that they do that might be considered like not maximalist fucking orthodoxy, but you don't bully them, but you're just bullying me. I didn't break any laws. Some of you replied to me. They said, oh, you're against consulting now? It's like, no, I'm not against consulting. I was telling people if they need a Bitcoin consultant, if they're an orange pill consultant, or they need to get a fake college diploma in Bitcoin, they can do it through Matthew Crowder's university. And people thought me just telling the truth was me bullying. I just don't get that.
Well said. Well, it's been an interesting week. The arguing's picking up. Bitcoin's back above 100K USDT. It looks like it's just going to keep on going. I don't know. What do you think? Is Bitcoin going to go back down, or is it going to keep on going up? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I tried to scan a timeline, listen to Bitcoin podcasts, and I tried to like condense or synthesize all these different signals from these different perspectives around the Bitcoin podcast community to kind of like gauge where I think price is going. It's kind of like my Bitcoin podcast astrology method. And right now, the strongest signal is coming from Samson Mao. Samson Mao is saying it is at any moment going to be an Omega candle. And then you got David Bailey. David Bailey's telling people, pay money, subscribe to my tweets, because there's going to be some crazy information come out. Buckle up. Just buckle up. And these are like the two. And how can I forget Dennis Porter? Dennis Porter's posting some price charts, and he's saying, boom, this was when the New Hampshire bill for the state Bitcoin reserve passed that I did. And this is the one when the Arizona strategic reserve bill, which means that the state of Arizona can confiscate people's digital assets in Bitcoin if they consider it quote unquote forfeited. So that's their state reserve. He pointed on the chart as this has caused us to go to over $104,000 USDT. So I think if you have these three of the probably strongest signals in Bitcoin forecasting Omega, I wouldn't fade it.
Well, you think Samson's calculating the price of his proposed hard fork or actual Bitcoin?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. He also wants to fork Bitcoin, but I think that it's kind of like Donald Trump. You don't want to take him literally. You want to take him seriously. And I think that if you followed Samson Mao on social media long enough, you would know that taking Samson Mao seriously, you would know how valuable that is. So I don't have to tell you. If you've been following Samson Mao since at least the one cycle, you would know how important it is to take him seriously. And I think it speaks for itself. So I don't think he really means this hard fork. That's what I guess is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, it might be a good move for him. I think it was a pretty good move for Roger and for Gian. They're very smart to hard fork Bitcoin. And I think Samson's looking at the billions of dollars that they walked away from by essentially doing nothing, just creating a bunch of memes and changing a little bit of code. He's like, wow, maybe I could do the same thing. But anyways.
And Samson hangs out with a lot of hot chicks. So, I mean, he's got to be getting something, right?
Well, I think it's the tether shirt. You know, when you're wearing a tether shirt, the chicks dig it. And they're like, wow, that guy's gotta have a bunch of USDT. Let's go check him out.
USDT is taking over. I mean, did you see, like, every talk that we talked a little bit about Jack Mallers and Tether going public? But yeah, Tether is, they're really, I mean, due to Tether FUD, people, like Bitfinex and like these other guys, fucking in disbelief. Tether, I think Mark Goodwin really got it. It is going to, we're going to tetherize the world economy instead of dollarize it.
Yeah. So I saw this video of Palo this week. So one of the things that Palo said is that he believes the CEO of a company should be a good memer, and that Jack Mallers is a good memer, and that's why he chose him. So I think that's the future that we're going to. I think people are finally admitting that the stock market is just a bunch of meme coins. There's been a lot of pretending for a long time that it wasn't, that there was actually something behind the valuation of these stonks. But they're capitulating. They're coming to the realization that stonks are just meme coins, and that one of the best ways in this current environment to pump your meme coin is to have a memer CEO and to buy Bitcoin and put it in your balance sheet. And that's the play. That's 21's play. Their play is the broccoli haircut memer CEO pumping the stonks. Now,
it's crazy because that is the blueprint that every individual can follow. Now, they are the blueprint for the economy of the future. You find somebody who's a really good memer, or you find a really good podcast, and you make that the company, and then you just buy Bitcoin for the treasury. And you can boil that down to your individual self. You start your own Bitcoin podcast, and then you put all your money into a Bitcoin treasury. And every company is now going to be like, well, fuck all this other activity. We're just going to buy Bitcoin. We just need a good meme, a good memer. And there's going to be a lot of opportunities for memers and meme gang members to become CEOs in public companies over the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, you could have the taco plebs. You could have triple elite memes, memers. You could have fucking meme factory, Moscow mentors, any of these guys, the clubhouse memers. They're going to be the next, you know, seat board members of America's publicly traded companies. Honestly, like, all stocks are meme stocks, but the ones who ironically aren't are the companies putting Bitcoin on their treasury, like GameStop, like MicroStrategy, like Cash App or Square, whatever they're called these days. They change their name every fucking day. The Bitcoin miners, these are the only stocks that aren't meme stocks.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the most prominent memers that are out there that could be CEOs. So you've got Yellow, you've got Teddy Bitcoins, you got Rothmus, you got Huddle Magoo. I wouldn't consider Jason Williams really much of a CEO.
He's a VC. He's a VC, you know.
Yeah. Bitcoin Becca.
Ben Justman's already a Bitcoin CEO. He's a memer, and he's the CEO of a wine company. Yeah.
It could become one of the world's most valuable wine companies. He's probably the first wine company to put Bitcoin on the balance sheet, so he has the first memer advantage.
Exactly. Yeah. Early meme advantage is going to be huge here. I mean, obviously Jack Mallers, one of the oldest meme. It wasn't too long ago when you couldn't open or search for a Bitcoin meme in like the Giphy tab thing on Twitter. When you wanted to do a Laser Leota chain, or you wanted to find one of the letters for the Have Fun Stank Poor chain, or you wanted to, it's mostly those two, but every single GIF would have Strike, the watermark on it. And this is the CEO of Strike during this time. What was the biggest meme in Bitcoin when you were getting in 2020? It was this fucking Strike Lightning app. I mean, this was the meme. We thought Apple was going to acquire them. There was this really cool, like, Bitcoin, like Strike was going to work at every payment, processor all over the country. We're still waiting on that. Obviously, that takes a long time. You got to update every POS on the Blackhawk system. And now what is he doing? He is, what was the other biggest meme of last cycle? It was Sailor, right? So you got Sailor and Mallers, the two biggest memes, combined with Tether, like the other biggest meme, and Trump, the biggest meme of them all. This is the best time to be a memer stuffing your Bitcoin treasury. Like, you just got to be as big of a meme as possible and take all those sats and turn it into savings in cold storage.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, though. Easier said than done. Think about all the people out there, like, you know, Adam Semica. He's a pretty good memer, and he's also a pretty good entrepreneur businessman. I think Adam Semica, is that how you say his last name? Semica. You know what I'm talking about?
I think it's Semica. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, dude, I could see him. He's probably going to make Maxi Madness next year if he becomes a public, you know, if he becomes the CEO of a public company buying Bitcoin for its treasury. Hell yeah. And hell, even fucking, do you think Dieter Bob could do it, or do you think Dieter Bob is just not, he doesn't want to work?
Yeah, no, he just wants to call people poor all day. He doesn't want to be the CEO of a company. But yeah, I mean, there's this whole class of individuals that's out there, and they like to throw shade on people, and they say, why don't you do something with your life besides sit behind a keyboard all day? Like, why don't you just, like, come out and share who you are? And the reality is all those people were wrong, in the sense of trying to present the idea that what you're doing and offering the world by creating memes all day isn't valuable. There's people like right. Jordan Peterson that say this is a very common thing that you often see all the time. They're like, you shouldn't be able to be anonymous online. And like, you know, the reality is like, you very well could have been this whole time. You could have been learning how to meme, learning how to be a Bitcoin podcaster, learning how to do all these skill sets that are really, really valuable and are only growing more valuable as time goes by. So I think there's kind of like a lack of signal in the market, you know, being presented historically by these individuals that try and act as gatekeepers, determining what arbitrarily creates value. And the reality is they've been wrong. These people are showing that all of their proof of work over these years, you know, using Photoshop and, you know, other meme making tools, is the market wants it.
There's also this, who knows where it comes from, right? Or people wonder where it comes from. I think it's emergent or organic, where it's this idea that there's too many influencers, there's too many Bitcoin podcasters, there's too many people want to be good at making memes. There's too many meme gangs. Like, we need people to focus on the important, you know, important shit. But who says that, right? It's the influencers. The influencers are telling you there's too many influencers. The influencers are telling you it's the worst time to start a Bitcoin podcast. Hodel Magoo does not want another Bitcoin podcast to start because he wants people to listen to him on Spaces give trading advice.
Matt Odell says don't listen to 40HPW.
Right. Who's telling you that? It is the people who they know that everybody's starting to realize that you've got as much signal as they do to offer. You got as much value as they do to offer. The Bugle has the same standards and is as much to offer as the New York Times. So don't let them discourage you.
We've got more,
but at least as much. And, you know, we don't make you pay a subscription, or, you know, we have a balanced view between Jews and non-Jews. If you listen to our podcast, we keep it even to get as many Jews or non-Jews on here as possible to have a balanced opinion. And so I just, whenever you're feeling doubt of like, hey, what I heard just doesn't make sense, and I think I've got a better answer than that, I think I listen to more podcasts than this guy, don't be afraid to say it. Don't be afraid to start a podcast about it, because there's not too many.
Totally. Well, as we start to look to transition to the booze, are you getting excited for Vegas?
Yeah, man, I'm getting pumped. I'm getting pumped for Vegas. I'm getting pumped for satirize the system, meeting everybody, signing cigarettes, wearing 40 hours per, just being around people who listen to 40 hours per week. Because we all know that you can find a bit, you could throw a rock, you know, 100 feet in any direction. You probably hit a Bitcoiner or somebody who, you know, has microshadowy shares. But you don't find too many people to listen to 40 hours per week. So it'll be good to hang out. It'll be good to, yeah, just fucking Orange Pill the TSA together at the conference, be respectful to the president because he's and the vice president because they are Bitcoiners. That's what we love to do. Ross will be there. That'll be cool. But most importantly, like Noster Vegas will be there. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to sell a lot of fucking Bugle and 40 hours per week t-shirts. And we got to out-represent PodConf, I think. I think it's important that there's more 40 hours per week or compliance or Bugle-branded content or, you know, t-shirts out there than PodConf. Because if PodConf is the real winner after all this, after all we've been through together, that would be pretty doomer.
I have faith that we're going to outsell PodConf. I don't think we have to worry about that. People like us. They don't like PodConf. They're tired of PodConf. The reason why we exist is because there was a market demand for something other than PodConf. That's part of why we're putting on this event.
Every time they turn on their fucking YouTube channel, it's some fucking skinny dude with a mask and long hair in a PodConf t-shirt telling that they're fucking retards. And they don't forget that.
Yeah. People are tired of that. People are tired of Shinobi calling them retards. They're tired of you know, just having PodConf and David Bailey NGU tweets shut down or shoved down their throats. They're tired of the Four Horsemen. They want something else. And that's why I'm excited to be doing this event, you know. And I think, like, one of the things that I'm kind of bummed out about is I think there's so many people out there that are like, oh, yeah, we're not going to Vegas because we're tired of PodConf. But, you know, there's more reasons to go to Vegas than just PodConf. There's the Satirize, the System event. There's the Noster party same night. There's a bunch of other parties going out there. And
Miss Hall will not will probably be there, unfortunately or fortunately, but Miss Hall will not on Fremont Street. Fremont Street was built for Miss Hall will not.
Are you going to be able to have self-control around her? Do you think you can handle yourself, or are you going to fall for her trap again?
You know, accountability. I'm not going to fall for it this time. A few gin and tonics and a few fucking cigarettes. She smokes menthols, of course.
Gross.
It's just, you know, start talking Bitcoin podcasts with a woman and you start to get PodConf goggles. It's because every time I see her, I have a comfort. Yeah, it's, we're going to be strong as done. We're going to try. I have to limit my intake of gin and tonic.
It'll be interesting to see if you can resist her charm or not. I know you talk a lot of trash about her, but it's just a reoccurring storyline happens.
Yeah. There's so many hot MILFs in Bitcoin. Like, people say that there's not enough women in Bitcoin, and that is true. There'll never be enough sexy hot women in Bitcoin, as far as I'm concerned. But that's women overall. If you narrow it down to hot MILFs, Bitcoin is fucking just overloaded with hot MILFs. So that's what can make conferences hard. There's a lot of hot MILFs, and it's a lot of orange cells. And if you're not an orange cell, it's like, if you listen to True Heather's podcasts and you know how to fucking talk to these horny MILFs, you're probably going to have a good time at conferences. That's all I'm saying. So it's like, Miss Hall will not, she, at one time, at least in my mind, she's put on some extra weight on her hips, but she's a hot MILF.
Fountain just completely changed the way their site works. This is really obnoxious.
Oh, yeah, they had a big update.
Yeah, I was talking to the plug chain guys about it. Now I can't see the comments on my typewriter.
We'll just pull it up on your phone. It looks fine on the phone. It's not a great UX to not be able to do it when you're podcasting as easily from website, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, it works on the phone, it looks like, but they changed the UX here, too.
Well, I see it. I can see it on the web. I'm on the web app right now. It looks fine. I can see everything.
I can't either see way. It on the web app. Are you serious? How do you see it?
I just go to the page for the episode, and it's just like a whole feed on the right side. Oh, that's weird. Oh, you probably have to log. There you go, right there.
Yeah. Just to minimize it. Okay. Well, anyways, somebody needs to teach them a little thing about CSS, I guess.
It's a responsive website. Those are all the rage these days, but not great for a podcast app anyway.
Somebody needs to teach them about JavaScript then. All right. Anyways, Boost, for last week's episode. Last week's episode was titled Node Rape Run Rampant. Be weekly episode 58. First boost of the day from Shadrack. My good buddy Shadrack. Been chatting with him quite a bit in the DMs over the last couple of weeks. 10,093 sats, mainlining signal, hashtag 40HPW. If you haven't had the chance to hang out with Shadrack, you want to hang out with Shadrack. He's a cool dude. Likes to smoke his cigarettes, likes his Marlboro Reds. Him and I hung out last week in person, actually. He took me on an interesting adventure into a place I'd never been before. And what I mean by that is he picked me up from the airport. We were driving around, and he took me to that undisclosed location I was discussing that I was streaming from when we were streaming with Jeremy and Evan Kalupas and Rob Hamilton. That was a good time. But
it's like Burning Man for Bitcoin podcasts.
I mean, that's pretty much what it was. Yeah, yeah. It was the Burning Man for Bitcoin podcast. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I'm sad I missed out on that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to go out there together sometime at some point in the future. It's quite something to experience, I'll say. Well, thank you for the boost, Shanrak.
The next one is from our old friend, Waystage Hoddle. Waystage Hoddle gives us 10,000 sats every episode. So shout out to Waystage Hoddle. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite fans. Don't get raped in Vegas. Sorry, I won't be there to smoke some cowboy killers with you. Well, that is also a huge disappointment. I was looking forward to smoking a non-KYC cigarette and meeting Waystage Hoddle. But hopefully we will do that somewhere soon.
Totally. That's a bummer. We'll miss you, Waystage Hoddle. Yeah, so speaking of getting raped, we're going to be hanging out with Aaron Redwing at the Inscribe in Vegas event. So we're going to be at Ground Zero for node rapage.
Yeah, we are going to be there reporting from the front lines. It's of the rapiest part of Bitcoin Vegas. I'm talking, of course, inscriptions. What's the event name again? Inscriptions Vegas. It's Riding Vegas. It's Riding Vegas. And yeah, man, it's that's where it's all coming from. That's where those fucking spam NFTs, JPEGs, monkey pics, that's where it's all coming from right there. So we're going to get in and try to like let them know that they should be running us instead, or at least get that perspective of it.
I'm excited for that. I've never done anything like that. And I know somebody's like Justin Batchelor is probably going to call it shit coiners for being there. But what can you do? You cannot ever pass all these purity tests. So I'm kind of at the point where I just don't really care about passing.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, people used to say when I was growing up, they say I'm comfortable enough in my masculinity to go see a musical or a Broadway play. And they would go to stuff like that. I'm comfortable enough in my maximalism to go to an Ordinals conference. I just am. Like, you want to call me a shit coiner, you want to call me gay, whatever. I'm comfortable enough in my maximalism to go and not be selling Ordinals in the bathroom stalls like Terrence, I'll tell you that.
Totally. Yeah, like I'm not going to, it's like taking your wife out to a rom-com, you know, or a chick flick. It's not gay to do that, you know, because like at the end of the day, you do that because you want to have a good night of sex. You know, you take her out, you do something right, kind of lame, you go home, you have great sex. There's kind of like a trade off there. It doesn't make you gay.
And yeah,
I feel like a lot of these guys are not secure in their masculinity. And so what they do is they're like, I'm not going to go see the chick flick with my wife. I'm going to make her go out with another girl.
I'm going to go listen to Avenged Sevenfold in my garage and get drunk by myself. That's fucking hardcore, dude. I'm going to go watch Sons of Anarchy and play Call of Duty and get drunk. And my wife's going to go out and fucking hang out and go see chick flicks with her friends. Like, man, you got to split those things. But, so, you know, that's stupid. You know, I mean, it's
in my opinion, getting drunk by yourself in the garage and listening to Avenged Sevenfold is much gayer than going and having a good time with your wife at a chick flick.
Exactly. It's not always so obvious, but it's like Joe Rogan had the joke. It's like professional wrestling is gay. It's just a bunch of like half naked men reciting poetry, angry poetry to each other until they get so worked up that they start fucking wrestling around on the ground together. That's really fucking gay, but it's still you can still enjoy it. I still like watching WWF, so you know just don't worry about it so much.
Totally. Next boost from Ink Morpok, 5,000 sats, says, you had me at Satoshi's gonna rape our nodes.
That sounds like
it's very upsetting. It's very upsetting that Satoshi's out there trying to rape her nose, but I still, you know, I have respect for Satoshi. I have respect that he created Bitcoin. I think his opinion matters. he's recruiting all the technical people, and I'm not going to listen to a bunch of non-technical people try and tell me how I should use Bitcoin. So I still side with the core munis on this one, despite the fact, like we talked last week, we're grown men. We can handle our nodes getting raped. I don't see it as the end of the world. We want to mitigate the damage to our wives, to our daughters. We don't want their nodes to get raped. So we run the nodes for them. I think that's really all you have to do to mitigate the situation. Is you just don't let your wife, you don't let your girlfriend, you don't let your daughters run nodes. You just do it for them, and crisis averted.
Yeah, and just, at the end of the day, do unto other nodes as you have done unto your nodes. So just also be careful. Don't rape other people's nodes. Quit getting so worried about who's raping your node. What are you raping nodes with? Are you out there raping nodes yourself just in a different way that's not like fucking the center of attention right now? Everybody needs to stop raping each other's nodes. If people stop raping each other's nodes, I think we can start to get over this. But as of now, Satoshi is raping our nodes because he can. And just because he can doesn't mean you should.
Totally. Next boost, another 5,000 sats from Fomochronic. Thank you. Thank you for the boost, Fomochronic.
Thank you, Fomochronic. I don't know why people laugh or think we're making jokes. This is journalism. This is the news. But I guess I can agree that we live in a clown world, and sometimes it's just funny. But yeah, thanks, FOMO. Ed, he is losing a double boost here, at least a duplicate on the timeline from Ed, 2,121 sats, and he just has the two different type of laughing emojis. So again, these guys, everybody thinks everything's so funny. Maybe if we stop laughing so much at the news and we try to fix things, you wouldn't be so funny.
Definitely agree. The news isn't funny. Next boost, Jason C, 2,100 sats, says, Rod and Dick are a speculative attack on clown world. Prove me wrong. 40 HPW. I like that. I think we should use that slogan. We're a speculative attack on clown world.
And yeah, he said, prove me wrong. And it doesn't look like anybody was able to prove him wrong. So it sounds like... I like it. That might be our new slogan, maybe our new podcast tagline. Thanks, Jason. And don't forget, Jason is the co-host of Back on the Chain, or Back on Chain, excuse me. It's about fish and Bitcoin with fundamentals from the Rock Paper Bitcoin podcast, which you were just on a few weeks ago, which is pretty funny, even though that one, because that wasn't news. We were just going on there to talk about creatine. The next one is from Anonymous, let me see if I can pull it up, because it says Anonymous on the web app, but I know it will show who it actually is in the phone app. It's Blizza. How can we forget Blizza? Blizza with 1,010 sats, pure signal. That's more like it.
I don't know why Fallon's trying to filter Blizza. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Like every week. Come on, Oscar Mary. Why don't you stop trying to filter our boy Blizza.
Wait, what are you saying? Blizza's spam?
Yeah, he's up 1,000 sats. It's not spam.
This is an economic transaction. You can't argue it's spam.
Right. This is a monetary transaction, value for value.
I don't know. What is
awesome? And Blizza doesn't even like post non-standard replies. Blizza posts pure signal, fucking lightning bolt emoji, thank you, gentlemen. Mike, he's under 83 bytes. Like, if you're going to start getting more restrictive than even knots, then I don't know. Maybe Bubble FM is where people start going.
Next boost from our good friend, Lahav Cliffshark. 1,000 sats says, incredible analysis of the situation. Clapping emoji. Best journalism in the space. Well, thank you, Lahav. Lahav recently got on Noster. Go follow him on Noster. But, yeah, did you see Stardust put out a new music video last week?
I did. Yeah, it's super hot, and the song is badass. You should go check that out. We retweeted it, but go to their timeline. Don't follow them on Noster, first of all, and then follow them on Twitter and YouTube so you can see their music, because it's It's pretty fucking good.
The song Dazzling Darkness. Very cool music video. Very well done by Lahav.
The next one is from Bob Vicow. Bob Vicow, we talked about him in Boost last week. He misses 500 sats, and it was a laughing emoji, which I think this is like the progress of his emotions or how he felt about each segment of the podcast episode last week. So he started off laughing at the mind of the retard. He blew with fire when we started talking about, against the mind of the retard and this whole core drama. And then he does peace and love, because I think he closed it out pretty well. And then we got to the boost and we said that the beef initiative was going to come and slaughter Bobby Cow and serve him at the Bitcoin conference or at a beefsteak. That was just a joke. I know it was journalism last week, because sometimes we tell jokes a little bit too. But Bobby Cow, thank you for the tweet. And we are fucking relieved that you are not going to be part of the beefsteak in Vegas. You are going to be listening to Bitcoin podcasts with us.
For the boost, Bob the Cow. Next boost from BT, or actually the good news before I go to the next boost, the good news is there's no beefsteak happening in Vegas this year. So I think Bob the Cow is a little bit safer.
Live to see another day. Another conference.
Next boost from BTCB, BTC on board, says lightning thumbs up salute emoji, 300 sats. Thank you very much, BTC on board.
And in the next few boosts, I mean, who other than Pies? He said he would be honored to be considered the Rocky of 40 hours per week. I take creatine and do prison workouts at the gym 4 to 5 days a week. Flex, flex, flex. Hell yeah, dude. Pies came out of retirement. He's listening to podcasts again. He only retired for one day. He came back. He listened to this right away. No rapists allowed was his next boost for 100 sats. No rapists allowed at his construction sites. Yeah, if you're a rapist, do not try to work at Pies construction site. If he's not doing prison workouts, listening to 40 hours per week, he's going to kick your ass. And then his last 100 sat boost is, I'm smart, retard. Laugh emoji, flex emoji, gun emoji, mushroom emoji. So I think Pies liked the mind of the retard, and he believes he is the wise retard, and I would agree.
Keep on training, Rocky. Good to see you back.
Hell yeah.
Was that all the boost? That's all the boost for the week. Well, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. There's a limited amount of time that you can order a shirt from Orange Label and have it delivered before the conference. So if you're going out there, why don't you rep some 40 HPW gear? Why don't you rep some, Bugle gear? Like Rod was talking about earlier, there's a real problem. You're going to have Rob Hamilton running around with his PodConf gear. There's going to be all these people with PodConf gear. We need to outnumber them. We need more people wearing Bugle attire. Now, if you miss that deadline, I'm going to be running around with like 30 t-shirts that you could buy for me. Some of them were already allocated to some people, but I will have t-shirts on the scene that you could purchase. So let me know. Let me know if you're interested. But what I would encourage you to do, go to orangelabel.co, buy a t-shirt today, get it shipped, have it to wear at the conference. Show up.
Plebs on parade, man. We need Lisa and Plebs on parade shirts here too. Timmy Taylor represent. There should be more Timmy Tether t-shirts than Tether USDT t-shirts. At least that would be a conference that I would really think was high sucking.
That would be an incredible. I think that's a pretty heavy lift and a lofty goal, because Tether is a multi-billion-dollar company. Timmy Tether is just one journalist, but that's the way that these things start. You know what I mean? A good journalist is kind of like an ember that can start a roaring wildfire. So fan the flames, buy a Timmy Tether shirt, show up to the conference, wear it, make Samson feel uncomfortable. Well, you got anything else before we close? You've been cranking out a lot of music recently. I guess we should highlight
that. Yeah, there's been a lot of music coming out. with the Core and Astrama. There was a new one today, the Pragmatic Wanderer. It's the Cormunists folk rock response to the Nazis, the Nazi anthem, which is on the Climb Line. It's also on Spotify, so you can just search Nots Anthem, K-N-O-T-S Anthem. But yeah, lots going on. My closing statement would be stand in solidarity with Bitcoin podcasters and run Nots Sloop.
There's a place in the logs I keep where the junk transactions don't dare creep. Running Nots with my custom patch, I built a gate, now Core fights back. They say let the Satoshi's watching now. What would he say? Probably not. Let's blow this chain with spam. That's gay. I know somewhere, somehow, we'll be okay. But we should filter notes, not broadcast JPEGs every day. I don't care for your ordinals, your taproot graffiti. There's a place off the mempool grid where the nodes still argue what freedom is, and though our blocks may never align, we'll still sync up one hash at a time.